Greetings, my name is Yitzhak Et Shalom, and I'm very excited to be beginning a new course of study in our ongoing Daf Yomi Shiurim. With this podcast, we begin the study of Masechet Nazir, which will pick up for the first few prakim with many of the themes that we're familiar with from Masechet Nedarim. A bit of an introduction, and the today's handout is a two-page piece. It's a two-page PDF file, which is numbered page 1 and 2. Page 1 replicates the basic parsha of Nezirut, which is Bamidbar Vav, Psukim Aleph through Chaf Aleph, inclusive. And underneath it, I presented a basic outline of what's included in that sugya. Masechet Nazir, and this is a very, very quick introduction, Masechet Nazir deals with a range of topics, some of which are directly associated with and tangential to Masechet Nedarim and some unique to Nazir. Remember that a Nazir is someone who takes a preset vow. In other words, as opposed to Nedarim, where all of the vows were up to the individual to shape as he or she felt appropriate, towards a particular person, towards particular items, for a particular duration, whatever it may be. Here, when someone says, I am a Nazir, they are plugging into a preset series of prohibitions with a preset minimum time of 30 days, as we will see in a couple of days in one of the first few podcasts. And that is all laid out in the Parsha of Nazir as presented on page 1. A Nazir, someone who effectively and validly commits to becoming a Nazir, which a man or a woman may do, and which, by the way, parents may do on behalf of and affecting their children, and we will deal with that later in the Masechet, with one exception, sets into a series of prohibitions, which include anything related to grapes or wine. It should include haircuts, razors, etc., and include any contact with the dead, such as attending a funeral, etc. If someone, and the one exception to that is something that we will encounter already in the next podcast, which is if someone associates himself with the very unique kind of Nezirut that was practiced by Shimshon, and it's very worthwhile in anticipation of the next podcast to read through the book of Shoftim, chapters 13 through 16. It's a relatively quick read. It's a very interesting read, and it will give you much of the information that you need in order to be able to follow some of the terminology used later on in the Mishnah. However, with the exception of associating oneself with Nezirut Shimshon, a Nazir is prohibited from those three pieces. The minimum, as I said, is for 30 days. And normally, as we have with any other prohibitions, if someone violates a prohibition during a period of time that prohibition applies, like eating in the middle of Yom Kippur or being Mechal Shabbos in the middle of the day on Shabbos, etc., we don't assume then that somehow that period of time has been destroyed and they need to now have a new period of time. We don't say if inadvertently you ate in the middle of Yom Kippur, you have to fast another 25 hours. We just say you continue fasting and you did the wrong thing. That is the case in part of Nezirut, but in part of Nezirut, as seen on the outline, if somebody encounters death in a way that renders him tamei during the period of Nezirut, his Nezirut is effectively stopped, not really, but is defiled. And then there is an entire process which we refer to as Tigalachat Tuma and Asham Nazir Tamei, after which he then begins counting another 30 days or perhaps more, depending, to complete the to do the proper Nezirut. This is one of the unusual facets of Nazir. The first few prakim of Nezirut are going to deal with hafla'ah, with the nature of the expression that renders a valid Nezirut. In what case is it one Nezirut? Sometimes it could be two Neziriyot or an extended Nezirut. And we will see all of those details when we come across the material. Later on in the Masechet, the Gemara deals with the Mishnayot deal, and the Gemara deals with the particular prohibitions relating to wine and grapes, etc., relating to haircutting, etc., and relating to contact with the dead. But for right now, we are going to focus on some general issues of Nezirut and on of the nature of Hafla'ah. Let's begin at the very beginning with Mishnah Aleph. This should sound very familiar because it is similar to the beginning of Masechet Nedarim, with a difference that is pointed out not here but in Nedarim itself, and that is as follows. Kol kinuyei nezirut kinezirut. If you remember from the beginning of Nedarim, we have the notion of kinuyei nedarim. That is, when you have a nickname for neder, which is classically konam, or konach, etc. So if you have a nickname for nezirut, that is a valid hafla'ah. And then the Mishnah seems to ignore what it just said and goes on, just as we had in Nedarim, to abbreviated forms of Nezirut. In other words, not where the word is a bastardization or a perversion of a word like Nazir, as we'll see a little later on, but where it's an abbreviated form with a word that we recognize. Ha'omer Ehei, if a person says, I will be. Harez Nazir. That, of course, is very strange. We need to fill in the blanks. Or Ehe Na'eh. If a person says, I will be beautified or comely, then Nazir also. And again, we have to fill in the blanks. Now, Nazik, Naziach, Paziach. That's a classic kinui. Harez Nazir. In other words, it's the word Nazir with a slight perversion of the word. Now, Hareni Kazeh. If you say, I am like that one. Hareni Mesalsel. I am someone who will curl, could mean curling the hair. Hareini mechalkel, which means I will tend to something. Harei alai l'shaleach pera, I am going to be meshaleach pera. We will see what the definition of this is. Harei z'nazir, all of those are valid haflaot and render the declarant a nazir. Harei alai tziporim, this is the last one, is a phrase which is subject to dispute. I am accepting upon myself the obligation of birds. What does that mean? So, whether that's a valid hafla'ah, and we will see towards the end of today's discussion what they are disputing. Okay, the first thing that the Gemara deals with, as is always the case, is the structure of the Mishnah and the starting points of the Mishnah. After all, we are in Seder Nashim. So what is Nazir doing in Nashim? My Tama Tani Nazir. So why is Nazir in Nashim? So Tana Akrakai. The answer is the Tana studying Nashim is relating to a Pasuk. Which Pasuk? Pasuk number one on the page. Vayayim lotim sachen minav kimatzava irvat davar. After all of Gittin and Kiddushin rests on that Pasuk. Which is, if a man betroths a woman, and then he marries her, and then she doesn't find favor in his eyes because he found something inappropriate, and that is the Beg Machloket, the Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, at the end of Gittin, what's Ervat Davar, and therefore he gives her a get. All of Gittin Kiddushin is really inferred starting from that Pasuk. So looking at that Pasuk, the Tana says, V'hachikama migaram la'avira. The assumption here is Matzav Ervat Davar is that he found that she had violated their sexual relationship by having relations with another. What caused that? Yayin. The answer is wine. And this is something we will see in about 2 months when we begin Masachet Sotah, that the reason that Sotah and Nazir are next to each other in the Mishnayot is because they're next to each other in the Torah. And why are they next to each other in the Torah? Because anyone who sees a Sotah being degraded as a suspected adulteress and realizes the ills of wine should immediately abstain from wine. So it's a motivator for Nazirut. So Nazir belongs in Nashim based on this reasoning, because some of the troublesome components, the threats to a healthy sexual relationship between a husband and a wife and fidelity come because of wine, and therefore a person should be sensitive to that. Now, there is yet another reason for that, which is, as we see in the beginning of Masechet Sotah, that in the middle of Masechet Ketubot, there was a discussion about Nidarim, a man who marries a woman who has Nidarim on her in the seventh parak. And then, subsequent to that, the Tana put in Masechet Nidarim, which also is in Nashim for another reason, because so much of Nidarim is about Bein Ish Leishto, as we saw in the last couple of parakim. Therefore, since Nazir is the one single subset of Nidarim that has its own set of rules that are different, therefore it is included afterwards. Okay, the next thing that the Gemara deals with is the structure of the Mishnah. Patach b'chinuyin u'mfaresh yadot. The Mishnah starts out by saying kinuyim, and then the first examples it gives are yadot. We have the same discussion in the beginning of Nidarim. Amarava v'tei makdi, so Rava, or this Chacham Adim of Kedi, said, Chasui Machzera. Our Mishnah is a little deficient. Vachiktani, this is what it should read. Kol kinuyim nezirut kinezirut, v'yadot nezirut kinezirut. All kinuyim are valid, and all yadot, abbreviated forms, are valid. Ve'elohen yadot, what are abbreviated forms? And then the Mishnah goes on, Omer, hey, or is an azir, etc. V'lifrosh kinuyim bereisha. So if that's the case, that the Mishnah really said kinuyim, and then the shadow piece that's not mentioned in the Mishnah is yadot, so let it go in that order of then giving examples of kinuyim and giving examples of yadot. Their kinuyim are valid, yadot are valid, here's kinuyim, here's yadot. Why does it go, kinuyim are valid, yadot are valid, here's examples of yadot, here's examples of kinuyim? Why does it do it in that inverted order, what we call a chiastic order, A-B-B-A? The answer is Tana Me'ahud is Solik HaMefarish Bereisha. The answer is this is the style of the Tana, that he gives two groups, and then he, because he just mentioned the second group, he gives examples of it, then goes back to the first group. And we'll see examples. Bamet Kedinan, like we have the Mishnah in Shabbat, Bamet Maldikin and Ma'in Maldikin. What oils and wicks may you use to light for Shabbat candles, and which may you not use? The next thing it says is, which ones you're not allowed to use. It's a little bit tricky, because after all, it never does say which ones you're allowed to use. Whatever's not on the list, you're allowed to use. Which things are you allowed to use to cover up hot things before Shabbat, and those things that are not Mosif Hevel? This is the fourth parak of Shabbat. And then the next thing it says is, which things you're not allowed to use, Bereisha. In the sixth parak of Shabbat, so we've gone second, fourth, sixth parak of Shabbat, it says which things a woman is allowed to wear and are not considered carrying on Shabbat, and which things she's not allowed to wear. And then the next thing it says is things she's not allowed to wear. Bereisha. Ah, is that really true? But none. In the fifth parak of Shabbat, what is an animal who's not allowed to be doing malacha? An animal's walking with Shuta Rabim, what is it allowed to have on? And what is it not allowed of? I'm farish yotzei gemal bereisha. And then the first thing it says is what it's allowed to have on. So there it went, A, B, A, B. Yesh nochalin v'manchalin, nochalin v'manchalin, nochalin v'manchalin, nochalin v'manchalin, nochalin v'manchalin. The eighth parak of Bava Batra lists those relationships where there is inheritance in both directions, inheritance in one direction, inheritance in the other direction, and no inheritance at all. And farish e'en nochalin v'manchalin. It went back to the first one, bereisha. Well, by the way, that is necessary because when you have not two, but four groups, if you go backwards, it's going to be very confusing. Ella, li'olam, tanihachi, v'tanihachi. But the conclusion that Gemara reaches is that it's arbitrary. Sometimes it goes in a chiastic order, and sometimes it goes in a sequential order. Ella hatam di sura b'nafshehu, m'farashi sura d'nafsheh b'resha. So now we're going to try to explain what the reasoning is in each particular case. In the Bamemalikin and Matomnin and all of those things, that is, the Isser is on the person, we want to explain the Isser first. In other words, you're not allowed to light with this, you're not allowed to cover with this, you're not allowed to wear these kind of clothes, Parakim 2, 4, and 6, respectively. Therefore, we want to get the Isser. In other words, the Gemara first said that it's not exactly arbitrary, but it's sort of random. But not really. What it's saying is that both styles are valid, but there's a reason for picking one style over the other. So when there's an Isser involved on the person, we want to touch the Isser first to make sure you know what not to do. But when it comes to an animal, the animal's not prohibited. You're prohibited. So it's sort of indirect Then Farsha Terah Bereisha. Therefore, they picked the Heter first. Agabi Yeshnoch Lenami and Bava Batra, the last example that we gave, Farsha Ikur Nachala Bereisha. The first thing they want to do is establish the main Nachala, which is, brothers to each other and et cetera, and parent and father to son. Alahacha Lifush Kinui Bereisha. But now back to Nazir. How come Kinuyim are not first? The answer is Alahainu Tam Yadot Hoelva Atele Midrasha Chavimim Lei. This also is utilized in Bava Batra in the 8th parak to explain the order. Because Yadot are not explicit in the text, but rather they're learned from a drasha. Therefore, the Tana really loves them and wants to get to them right away because of his love for Yadot. And what the drasha is, we saw in Nedarim, Ki Ish Ki Afli Lindor Neder Nazir Lahazir. Those extra words teach you Yadot. So then the Gemara immediately asks, if Yadot are so beloved to the Tana, let him begin with Yadot. In other words, instead of it saying, Kol Kinyan Nazirut Kinazirut, and then we assume Kol Yadot Nazirut Kinazirut, and then going ABBA, instead, why doesn't it start with Yadot? And in the Darim, if you recall, we actually answered that perhaps it does. After all, since it's missing, it could be missing beforehand. The answer that the Gemara here gives is Matchil Be'ikar Korban. The answer is that we want to start with that which is firm and established, and the Iker HaFlaw, which is Kinuyim. Well, in Perusha Mefarish Yadot Bereisha, when it comes to giving examples, because of the Chavivut, because of the Tana's love for that which was gained out of a Drasha, which is Yadot, he does that first. So that explains the order of ABBA. Okay, now we're going to take a look at the specifics in the Mishnah. Hamar Ehe, Harei Zeh Nazir. If a man says, I will be, that makes him a Nazir. Now, that's a very strange phrase. I will be. Who's to say that has anything to do with Nazirut? It seems to be out of the blue. So, V'dilma Ehe B'ta'anit Kamar. Perhaps what he's talking about is, I am going to be taking a fast. In other words, we understand that Ehe is some sort of a haflaw of accepting a restraint, or accepting some sort of a vow. But who says the vow is Nazirut? Maybe he's going to take a fast. So the Gemara answers, Amar Shmuel, Kagon Shayana Zero Verlefanav. We're talking about a case, there's a Shmuel, it shows up in several places in Shas. Shmuel says it's a case where a Nazir was walking in front of him, and you said, hey. So now you're associating your act, your commitment, with this fellow going in front of him, and so they're saying, I'll be like him. So, Lema, Kasavar Shmuel, Yadayim, She'enan, Mochichot, Lahavin, Yadayim. Are you going to tell me that Shmuel says that an abbreviated format, which is not explicitly clear as to its meaning, is invalid? That means without the guy walking in front of you, hey would not be meaningful? And after all, we know that Shmuel said that if a man gives a woman a ring and says, Harat Mekudeshet, without saying the word Li, it's still valid. That's the Sugyan Kedushin. So, why would Shmuel say that without the Nazir walking in front of him, Ehe is not valid? Well, the answer is that there are different levels of unclarity. Amri Bizman Shenazir Varlefanav, Leikilus Fuke Vimilta Achrina. If there's a Nazir walking in front of him, then there's no reason to think it means anything else. That's what it means. Avadayin a Nazir Varlefanav, Amrin Dilma Ebe Tanit Kamar. But certainly if there's no Nazir there, there's no way to connect what a hay is. You can't compare that to a man giving a woman money or ring and saying Haram Kudeshin, and he left off the word Li. Certainly context indicates that he's marrying her and he's the one who's doing the marrying. So there are, again, are different levels of missing information in the abbreviated format. Ehe is extremely deficient without the Nazir in front of him. Okay, V'dilma lefotro mikorbanotav kamar. Maybe when Ehe, and he was pointing to Nazir, maybe it meant, I will take care of this guy's korbanot. Maybe that's what it meant. Not that I'm going to adopt the same restraints. To Kama Balibo, the answer is that in his heart what he meant was he's a Nazir, and when we ask him afterwards, what did you mean? Did you mean the Korban? He said, no, I meant to also be a Nazir. Which, by the way, means something very new. It means if you say a hey, first of all, there has to be a Nazir there to make sure that that externally it's clear it's about Nazirut, and second of all, you have to really be thinking, I'm becoming a Nazir, and then explain that afterwards. So, Iyachi Maila Meimra. So if that's the case, then what's the chiddush of saying Ehe is valid? If the whole time the guy meant to be a Nazir, and we saw this in the Darim, if you have a general statement that could be interpreted as a vow, and you meant it as a vow, it works, The answer is Maudatema Ba'in Pivo Libo Shavin. I might think that your heart and your mouth have to be on the same page. Meaning, I might think that Dvarim Shabbalay Venan Dvarim, and whatever you have in your heart doesn't help at all. It has to be explicated fully. Kamash Pulan, therefore, the Mishnah teaches that a hey is valid, even though it's an incomplete statement, and your thought has to fill in the rest of the information. Now, a hey na'eh nazir. We then saw the next statement is if I am going to be comely or attractive, an allusion to his growing the hair. Vidilma and the elephant of mitzvot. Maybe what the guy meant is I'm going to beautify myself with mitzvot, which, by the way, there is a precedent for that. Kedetanya ze'ili v'anvehu. Look at the second pasuk on the page. When in Shirat Hayam we say this is my God and I will anvehu, which many interpretations about it means I'll provide a place for him. But the drasha is and the elefanav mitzvot, I will become beautiful before him in mitzvot, as elefanav sukana lulav na'e tzitzitna, what we call hidur mitzvah, that all of the physical objects used for mitzvot I will do, I will make beautiful and ornamental, etc. Elefanav sefer Torah na'e. I'm going to write a beautiful Sefer Torah and I'll put beautiful covers on it. So how do we know that yena'eh means I'll be a nazir? Maybe it means I'm going to do mitzvot in a beautiful way. So Mashuach tafus pisaro, he was holding on to his hair. V'yamar ena'eh, and he said I'm going to be beautiful, meaning I was holding on to his hair, and he said I'm going to grow long hair, which of course is associated as a formal declaration only with nazirut. Now, how can you say that? As after all, Nazira Milta Davera Vamina Lena'e, being a Nazir, as we will discover, and we've already seen in the Darim, is not a positive thing. Taking any sort of a vow is generally a negative thing. So how could we then associate the word I'm going to be beautiful before God as being a declaration of Nazirut? The answer is in De Afilu the Rabbi Lazar HaKapar De Amar Nazir Chote, even the Rabbi Lazar HaKapar we saw in parak, in the second parak of Nidarim, and we saw him later in Nidarim, as having the opinion that a Nazir is a sinner, and how much more so if you abstain from other things the Torah permitted to you. He said, Hani Mili Gabi Nazir Tameh. His source, his proof text for that was from the Nazir who became Tameh. And his problem with it is that once a Nazir becomes Tameh, he took a Nazirut for 30 days. For 30 days he was willing to do without wine. Then he became Tameh in the middle, not due to his own planning. Somebody died in the house. And now suddenly he's got another 30 days, and he's not, he has regret, and that may cancel the Ned there. That's the famous story with Shimon HaTzadik, we'll get to later on. And Hani Mili Gabe Nazir Tameh Da Aidi Dabai Mistar Da Amar Rachmana Bamir Shani Pulki Tameh Nizro, since all the days that he kept till now are gone and he has to do another 30 or however long, therefore Atam Hudum Atam Yavral Nazirute, maybe there he's going to violate his Nazirut because he's already tired of it, that's why he's a Chote. Aval Nazir Tahor Lav Chote Karibe, even Rabbi Lazar Kapar, we're claiming here, he says that a Nazir Tahor, meaning a Nazir at the beginning, who is planning to do it right, obviously, is not a Chote, and therefore when he says, I will be beautiful before God, that can mean something positive, that in other words, it could mean Nazirut. Nazirut could be something, considered something positive here. The next clause in the Mishnah that the Gemara deals with is Hareini Kazeh. I am like this one. So Nehina means Tafus Desaro. We're now picking up from what Shmuel's explanation of the previous line, which is where the fellow was holding on to his own hair. But Hareini Kazeh Lo Amar. That doesn't help at all. So Mar Shmuel can go and shayana zero velefanav. So now we put both of them together. Hareini Kazeh only works. I am like this one only works if a Nazir is walking in front of you and you're holding your hair. Hareini Misalsel, to curl. So Imai Dahadein Sil Susara. Who says that means curling your hair? Kida Amrale Ahi Amta Deve Rebbe Lahu Gavra. This is one of the famous stories about Rebbe's handmaid, or Rebbe's maid, worker in the house, who knew more Ivrit than some of Rebbe's students, and was able to explain words in the Mishnah based on the way that she spoke. And she said, Ad matay atam misalsel b'sarecha. How long are you going to keep curling your hair? So, Aima Torah, maybe that means not curling your hair, but it means ornamenting yourself with Torah, as the Pasuk says in Mishlei. Again, the fellow's holding onto his hair and he says, Harini Misalsel. Now, Harini Mechalkel, the next line in the Mishnah. Mimaida den kilkul sarahu, who says that means tending to your hair? Kedinan, the answer is seed. What's the shear of how much of this plaster is considered significant. So if you carry it on Shabbat, you're chayav. Rabbi Omer, kadei lasud kilkul, in order to put in something in the, it's something that's done in the hair. V'yamarav batzida, it's referring to a particular fixing of the hair. So ema mezananiyeh, maybe machalkel means like it means normally, and we say in tefillah machalkel chayim bechesed, he takes care of the poor, he feeds people. Kalkala is support. Perhaps it's that. As we find in Bereishit that Yosef fed his family. Again, you're holding on to your hair. That means tending the hair. Hare alai l'shaleach pera. The last of the undisputed phrases in the Mishnah is Hare alai l'shaleach pera. I am going to be m'shaleach pera. I deliberately did not translate those because the Gemara will deal with this. Hare z'nazir. My dad is shiluach ribuya. Who says shiluach means to increase? Pera, we're going to now assume, means hair. Dechtim shlachayach pardes rimonim. Because the pasuk in Shir Hashirim indicates that I have sent out and increased the pomegranates in the orchard. So ayin midi daabure, maybe it means the shaleach means to get rid of. Kidechtiv shaleach mayim apnei chutzot. And this reading in the pasuk of Iyov, that he sends water out into the fields, the idea is that he removes it from here and sends it out. So Tana para para yalif. The answer is that our Tana learns para, because the fellow here says shaleach para, and we learn the word para in the context of nazir. Ktiv ha-chakadosh yeh gadel para. The nazir is gadel para. Tivatam gabi kohen idiot. In Yechezkel it says ufera lo yishalechu, that the kohanim are not allowed to allow their para, their hair, to increase. And so you see, the shaleach pera is the gadel pera, to let the hair grow. And you could go back to the pasuk in Iyov and say that pasuk also means to increase. Can we talk of Yosef? The chad mashkin lemayel afera v'rabi. Shaleach mayam pechutzot doesn't mean he sends the water out, but rather he gives the water that allows things to grow and increase. Okay. Harei alai tziporin. The last clause in the Mishnah was the dispute between Rav Meir and Chachamim about Harei alai tziporin. Rav Meir, Meir Nazir, and Chachamim say no. My time to Rav Meir. Why does Rav Meir say that? So we have two opinions. Amar Reish Lakish, tziporin smuchim l'sear kibel alav. That when he said birds, he was referring to a reference in Tanakh to birds, which are right next to the use of the word hair. And so when he meant tziporin, those that are mentioned next to hair, and therefore it's an association with hair, and therefore nazir. Dichtiv, this is a pasuk in Daniel, ad di sa'arei kinishrin revav etifroi ketziporin. His hair grows like eagles. This is some mystical reference. Rameus, this is a reference to the divine. And Rameir Savar Matpis Inish Pamidi Disamichle. And Rameir therefore holds that when a person refers to something, he can be referring to that to which it's juxtaposed. So since Tziporin is next to birds, Tziporin is next to hair in this strange pasuk in Daniel, therefore that's the reference. Rabbanan Savri no Matpis Inish Pamidi Disamichle. And the Rabbanan say, no, a person says what he says. He doesn't say something that's the phrase next to what he meant. Now, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Dechuli Amar Lo Matpis. Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't buy it. Person never means that. When they say something, they say what they mean. They don't say something next to it. And therefore, why does Rabbi Meir say Tziporin works? Hainu Tamid Rabbi Meir Dechashin and Shemat Tziporin Nazir Tamei Kibel Alav. Perhaps what he meant was, and here Rabbi Yochanan says Tzachshash, that when the guy says Tziporin, he may mean I'm accepting upon myself the responsibility of a Nazir, that if I become Tamei, I'll have to bring Tziporin. Take a look on page 1 in the Parsha. You'll see that's what he would have to bring. So, Machti Chashin Kamar, now wait a second, Rabbi Yochanan. You're saying Tziporin is not absolutely a Kabbalat Nazirut, but it's just a concern. So, Dilma Tziporin Devaki Pelab, maybe he was just accepting to bring a Korban of two birds as a voluntary Korban. So, him can a real like Kanmi Baile. Then he should have said, I am bringing a cane, a nest. Maybe he said, I'm accepting upon myself to bring the korban of a mitzorah, maybe on behalf of a mitzorah that's healed. Again, we get back to the idea that a nazir is standing in front of him or walking in front of him, and therefore we're associating it with that inspiration of this fellow walking in front of him. V'dilma nazir tamei, v'fortum in korbanotav kamar. Maybe the guy walking in front of him was a nazir tamei, and he was saying, I'm accepting the tzipori, meaning I'll bring his korban for him. I'll provide the money for his korban, or the birds. The answer is Gurun Shaya Nazir Tahor Velafanav. Because if the fellow walking in front of him is a Nazir Tahor, a guy who's still in the middle of his Nazirut, then Tziporin means I'm accepting the same status as this guy, then of course may lead to Tziporin if it goes doesn't go well. So my Binai, what's the difference between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan? Iki Binai Gwanda Amar Tziporin Asmuchin Lasear Alai. If you say I am accepting upon myself those birds mentioned next to hair, then according to Rabbi Yochanan, you still need the Nazir Relefanav, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, it has nothing to do with the particular phrase you're saying, but has the context of the Nazir standing in front of you. Without that, we don't know what kind of bird you're talking about. According to Rish Lakish, the words themselves are meaningful, and therefore if you said the birds that are mentioned next to the hare in that pasuk, then that would be good enough according to Rish Lakish. Now, parenthetically, Rabbi Yochanan's position was that nobody ever makes a reference to something and means the verse next to it or the phrase next to it. They almost say what they mean. So, Mikala Amanda Marloma Pisinish Bemilta de Samichle, since when does anybody accept that position that a person doesn't make a statement and use a juxtaposed phrase as the referent? If a person says the word yamin, meaning God's right hand, that's an oath. Why? My time. He lifted up his right hand and took an oath. So therefore, when you say right hand, because the next word is oath, therefore, the next phrase is oath, therefore, right hand, it gets interpreted as oath, which means everybody agrees that we use juxtaposition to interpret words. Samri lo, the answer is no. Mishum diamin gufa yikri shvua. The right hand itself is an oath. Shenemar nishpa Adonai bi mino uvizroa uzo. Pasuk in Yeshayahu. Detanya. Minayin lo mer yamin shishvua. How do I know that yamin alone is an oath? Shenemar nishpa Adonai bi mino. God took an oath with his right hand. Minayin lo mer small shishvua. How do I know that the left hand is also? Because in the next phrase says shenemar uvizroa uzo. His strong arm. So his right hand is already mentioned. The other hand mentioned has to be his left. And therefore, God takes an oath with his right hand, with his left hand, whatever that may mean anthropomorphically. But nonetheless, that means that those phrases are not next to an oath, but themselves are an oath. And therefore, we defend Rabbi Yochanan's position that a person's statement is what he means and not juxtaposed to the things that he intended. So we finished the first sugya in Nazir. We'll pick up Mirza Shem in the next podcast. At this point with Mishnah Bet. Everyone should have a wonderful day.